Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
everyone, and welcome to Sweet Discussions, Sweet Tea. Happy Thursday night to everybody. Hope everyone had a great day. Tonight is Open Your Mouth and Read Your Poetry. So I'd like to welcome everybody to A Team of Voices Radio. Our group is filled with love and respect. We're so happy that everyone came tonight. We're poets from all over the globe and offering a variety of programming for your entertainment. We offer open mics so you can share your voice with us. There's something going on every single night, and you'll never know what we have to offer. So just tonight, where we're offering open poetry. Never know what we have. We have games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special topics. And you're invited to join us for all the fun. So, tonight, let's get started. The song you heard was oh, no, I'm going to forget the name of the song. Words You Cannot Say, written by our own Jay Hatter and sung by Shout Even Shy. I'm so sorry. I screwed that up. Thank you, Deb. And I just read that whole little thing that I read is written by the almighty Deb, our great leader of Team of Voices, Inside Blog, Inside All Poetry, so check us out. I have a full house, so I'm going to just get on and say hello to everybody. So, hello, Raconteur.
Hello.
And we're going to say hi to Hatter again. Say hi, Hatter.
Hi, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Maybe I have to call back in.
Okay.
I think she's depressed.
No. And then we're going to say hi to Deborah Lee.
Well, hey there, Sweet.
Hi. Hopefully you can hear me, right? Can everybody hear me, or am I drowning?
I hear you fine.
Okay,
just
and then we're going to say hi to Wayne.
Wayne Jen. Hello, Sweet. How you doing, Sweet?
Right. Hello. I'm
Deb,
doing great.
Heather. The crew.
Hello.
And then we're going to go ahead and say hi to AP Taylor.
I'm half a global way, and I hear you fine, Sweet.
AP.
Oh, goody.
It's you, Adam.
Understood. Well, Hatter hung up on me, so I hope he calls back.
There you go.
He went away. He's in California, and I think it might be loud in California. I don't know.
Northern California, fucking yourself.
I know. It is kind of loud in Northern California sometimes. So we have a ton of poetry because, you know, people like to just open their mouths and read. So that's awesome. And Deb, thank you very much for handling everything in the studio. That was awesome. But I've got everybody here. So if you call, yeah, I would love that, Deb. That makes my life so much easier when people do that for me. Yeah. Then I can just go ahead and, you know, be me on the radio.
I tend to open my mouth and put my foot in.
Oh, I do that all the time. We have so much going on, and it's kind of a variety of topics going on, but there's so much going on, and life is moving, and I'm back in Wyoming because things are crazy. So,
good.
Yeah, good. Things are good. So, AP, are you in a super hurry? You got big meetings. You're moving
I'm in a super hurry, but then I can return and not be in a super hurry. So I'll come back for the second hour, but I'm in a hurry now, if that makes any sense. So it doesn't really.
All right.
But anyway,
you
want to sort of
read now? Do you want to read now?
But I'll come back for the second hour.
Okay.
I'll read and run,
okay,
but
well,
I'll come back for the second hour. That's my promise.
All right. All right, well, then let's get you up there reading.
Okay. Well, this is a little brevity from a few years ago
that
I really like. I really like. So
This
is called The Bottle Green Scarf, and it goes a little bit like this. To a pinch of golden dust, add a touch of ruby, swirled within Grandma's crocheted bottle green scarf. Soak in memory in a sprinkling of crushed glass. Then take to a nearby field on the stirring of night. This parachute unfurls, if thrown towards the rains. Those colours engulf the horizons to all sides. And my Nan is in the skies, as I again hear the crystal twinkle in her voice. End poem.
Oh, you know, that's beautiful. I really... First, I love the description of the scarf, and I love how you bring in the memory, and I love how it's nostalgic, and you feel her, and you hear her, and there's so much about this. I have a scan that was my grandmother's that I keep on the back of my chair, and it just brings back all those memories when I see it, and I have it around my shoulders, and that's how I feel. I can just hear her smile, and I can see around her shoulders, and nobody's allowed to touch it because it's mine. And this kind of reminds me of how I feel when I have that around me. And that's just beautiful. So, Deb, your thoughts real quick.
Yeah, I actually remember this one and the sentiment that oozes from it as you go on. I wrote in the bottom that the colors in the imagery are great, but that the sweetness shined through, and that the build-up to the twinkle in her voice is really endearing. So I was touched by this one. And it's a silver winner, so congrats on that.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you.
And then I'm going to get a comment from Wayne.
Hey, hey guys. I had to go into the door. I heard part of the poem was a great poem, but I had to get run into the door. I had somebody come over and sell me something. So I didn't hear all of it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. How about I get a comment from Rack?
Yeah, I thought this is wonderful. I like the way that you related the quality of the scarf, the twinkle in it. Because, you know, I could picture that type of yarn that sometimes the older generation like to use. You related that to the twinkle in her voice. I mean, a scarf by itself is warm and comforting, but to add that trait to it as well brought it even more to life. You know, it was a wonderful tribute to her, and I could imagine you putting it on and thinking of her, not just from the colors, but, you know, the memory and the fondness. It's beautiful.
Before you go, AP, I'm going to read
yes.
this poem with a new format, and I'm going to challenge
Excellent.
You when you come back in the second hour. Okay?
Okay.
So the format
okay.
at the bottom
You've got
of the poem,
it.
And this
okay.
is called, here's called Rain.
Cool.
Tears Called Rain. How do I reverse the tick-tock of time? Stop the sunsets and play in sunshine. Can I keep our giggles stored in a jar? Keep memories of joy, drop the thoughts that scar. Why now does death reach for my lover's hand? No more grains flow from the eyes of the sandman. Does rage of a broken heart stop the pain? Wash the anger out. These tears called rain. And poem.
Intriguing.
Yes. Poem done by Marius. So it's quite intriguing. I thought you'd enjoy it.
No. It's really nice. I always like questions in poems, and so to have a format which basically runs off those questions is really interesting and intriguing at the same time. And you've done a very fine job in a very tight format.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd be here because I wanted to share this one with you. And but now that I've got to go and come back, I'll challenge you.
I will have something for lunch with a friend, which I'm about to have now, and then I'll see if I get 5 minutes to see if I can pop something together.
I'm sure you can.
Okay. Well, I will see you in hour two, sweet, with my challenge.
All right. Talk to
Okey-doke.
You.
Okey-doke. And she'll talk
lunch.
Soon. Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. So, I lost Wayne too. I'm losing my people.
He'll
What's
fall
going
back.
On? I'm losing them.
They're looking for your marbles.
I guess so. Oh no. All right. So, I guess we can go to. Well, I got two of you. We'll go. We'll throw up Rack and Tori, you're the next one up then. Lost my boots.
I'm sorry?
I said we'll throw you up. I'm going to throw you up, Rack.
How appropriate.
There in just a second.
Well, wait, did you guys like that new format? I like the format.
Yeah, the Q&A kind of feel of it is really cool.
Interesting. At first, I thought you were doing a palindrome.
No, I didn't do palindromes. Not good, Adam.
It's like you went with, just for an example on the very first one, how do I reverse the tick-tock of time, stop the sunsets, and play in the sunshine? It's like slow down, pay attention to what's going on, jump out in the sun. I like the questions you posed and the answers that you provided. I think that, and four stanzas, I mean, four couplets, I mean, excuse me. I think that you did really, really awesome with this suite.
Oh, thank you.
And I did put racks up there for you, so just say when.
When?
Okie dokie. And you got like 9,000 in there. So here comes rack.
Reap What You Sow by Raconteur. My mother was known for whipping up potions, so people call me a son of a witch. I hope to one day master alchemy and make my family rich. I have two beautiful sisters, born identical twins. They grew up studying magic and dating handsome djinns. They revel in causing mischief, like scratching an insatiable itch. Because when it comes time to pay the piper, nobody can tell which witch is which. One full moon, we all went out for a brew, forced to walk because we never learned to fly stick. So we strolled silently, shrouded in shadows, arriving unnoticed in the mood to frolic. Settled only a brief spell, I knew there was going to be trouble. We were told to abandon our drinks and leave on the double. My sisters cursed the tavern, rotting the teeth of anyone that ventured within, plaguing them with gout and herpes sores all over their skin. The difference between a witch and a princess is the love she's shown. Worship the ground she walks on, and you'll reap what you've sown. End poem.
Oh my. Now that is very true. That is why I prefer to be a witch over a princess. Or I mean a princess over, I don't know. Am I a princess over a princess? I don't know. No. I think it's true for all women. The ground she's walked on and you'll reap what you sow. And not worship the ground you walked on and you'll reap what she sows. I love this though. I really do. I love the double entendres in here too. And I love we forced to walk because we never learned to fly stick. To this day, I cannot drive a stick. I've had so many people try to teach me. Not possible. Never going to do it. Can't do it. Just not going to be there. So I love that. And they relieved in causing mischief, like scratching an insatiable itch. This is just brilliant. I love the story. I love the humor in it. I love the darkness in it. I think you did a lovely job in mastering the witch of witches. Great right. And I love the title, Reap What You Sow. Brilliant right. So, my dear Deb, my witchy friend, what did you think of this?
Oh, I think that between the foreboding tone in your voice when you were reading, Rack, and stuff like, Sweet touched on it. They reveled in causing mischief, like scratching an insatiable itch, because when it comes time to pay the piper, nobody can tell which witch is which. I love the play on witch there. But I think that you did really cool and settle only a brief spell. I knew there was going to be trouble. We were told of abandoned. my sister cursed the tavern, rotting the teeth of anyone that ventures within, plaguing them with gout. I mean, oh my goodness, the details, I think more than once when you were reading, I was going, ew. So So, like, you really brought out the details and kicked butt with this. Great piece.
Thanks, Deb.
Absolutely. This is great. Okay. Deb, why don't we play last night's leftovers or last night's carryovers?
Okay.
We have a few of those.
Yeah. Well, one of them's mine, but like I don't have to do two, so that part's up to you.
You can explain more of those.
Okay.
From last night,
well,
because I wasn't on last.
What happened
show.
Last night? First, Wolf had some problems with his phone and couldn't do the open poetry at 9. So we switched the show to 11 to do a special tribute for Charlie Watts. And then, my dear sweet, we were blocked out of the studio from the host point of view and from the caller-in's point of view. And shows that were live said goodbye and cut them off. It was a total disaster. So this is the entire board from yesterday, and that is why there's so many. And I was never more thankful to know that you had open poetry again the next night and that we would have a place to try and get some of these taken care of. But I guess I'll read mine if you don't care, because this is the one I was going to read last night. And then sometime in the second hour, I guess I could read the other one. If there's time, we'll see what happens. But I'm trying to run my mouth while I find the board. There it is. Okay.
That's fine. Okay.
You're on the board.
There we go.
You're on the board.
I just put it there, didn't I?
Yeah, are you there? I'm looking at it.
Okay. Awesome sauce. And why there? Okay. Here we go. All right. This one was written to the Def Leppard song Hysteria was the prompt. And it's called Tonight Just Dream Me Off My Feet. And Dream Me Off My Feet is a line from there. Nod to them. Here we go. Tonight I lay staring, counting the clouds, enveloped in the titanium light that glitters like you. Flickering the hot zirconium stars hanging in the velvet view, backdropped with a tar black hue, transfixed, but cannot touch you. Paranormal announcements stuck in the silence, out of reach, displaying shades of colors only daydreaming eyes can see. Can you see me? All alone tonight as you lay sleeping, reach for me. March through my brain as limbs shake, rattling knees, falling in deep. With a cabalistic command staggering the mania. Two can't fight fire that burns red, drawing them like moths beelining for the flames that lift them off their feet, trapped in the hysteria. Show up for me tonight, sharing the raging hysteria. Sip the tethers tonight. Stop the fight. If you're alone tonight, just reach for me. Tonight. End poem.
Wow. I love Two Can't Fight Fire That Burns Red, Johnny, spinning like moths, beeline through flames that lift them off their feet, trapped in hysteria. That is, it's hot, it's intriguing, I love beeline for the flames that lift them off their feet. That is just imagery that, it's almost like molten energy that you just draw in, just like the flames. I mean, there's nothing like flames that bring you in, but you've got like so many things like staggering into mania, trapped in hysteria, stopping the fight. I mean, it's just all passion. It's like a description of passion that can't be stopped, and I really enjoy that intensity in here. Intensity through your words is just, it just grabs hold of you, and it's like a molten hot love affair that you're gonna that you have throughout this poem, and I really enjoyed that. Way to be, Deb. Way to be.
Damn.
I've got
Thank
Hatter
you.
Back. I got. You're welcome. I've got Hatter back. So I don't know if you heard your poem. So Hatter, did you happen to hear that little hot love affair we got going on with this poem?
Yeah, I missed the last poem.
Okay, that's
Trying
fine.
To fix my poem.
Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, if you're going to write to Def Leppard, I think you need that intensity. I really enjoy the band. The idea of, the colors and the language that you used fit well to the lyrics that they like to use. There's always, something about the beat and the music, especially that album, Hysteria, that's one of my favorite ones. I don't remember if that was the one where the guy came back, the drummer actually came back with one arm. I don't remember if that was the album that he did with the one arm, or the first one he did with one arm, I should say. It's an amazing album, and you did a wonderful job paying tribute to them, and picking some of the key words from the lyrics that they use. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it had to be intense because, come on, the song is called Hysteria. And there's so much in it that I couldn't wait to sink my teeth in. So I'm glad you guys liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who are we going to go next? Let's see.
If you're staying there, we can just do them in order.
Yeah.
From here, if you want.
Okay, that'll work. We'll just go there.
Cool. Okay, well, then this one's got a recording. It's
okay. The
one that Frank brought last night. I'm putting it on the board
right now.
Well,
Frank said he'll be here. Hold on. Frank said he'll be here in about a half an hour. So why don't we hold off on him?
Do both of his later? Okay. Let me go back to the board.
Yeah,
well, that's what I figured. It's up to you. I mean, there's more on the list. So how about I could get Pretty Birds? Wouldn't it be nice to hear that?
Okay.
We'll do Pretty
Birds
from last night. And then that'll give us one of hers in the second hour as well. That's what I was thinking, the ones that have two we could do in the first hour. And then, anyway, there you go, dear heart. And I will
All right.
that for you.
All right.
I need calamine lotion, 3 fingers of whiskey, and to remember not to talk to strangers, by Pretty Bird. I hear your voice in strangers wearing your skin, falling into them just enough to feel you. They remind me to breathe. The pieces you stole outweigh the ones I gave you. I don't miss them much. Scars itch until they tear neath the raking of my nails, proving I never did heal. If healing means I can't feel you, then bleeding is my only option. Can you still taste my trust on your ashen tongue? Sulfur and silver still taste like a bruised ego. It wouldn't have hurt if you didn't care. How was I supposed to know you lied?
I have, like, you should see little exclamation points and at signs and little kind of things I'm not allowed to say in the radio, adult language kind of things right here, because this is crazy good. How was I supposed to know you lied? This is something I could take very personally. It hits me very hard. It's a very emotional poem. It's a very deep poem. I hear your voice in strangers wearing your skin, falling into them just enough to feel you. The thing about this particular poet, Pretty Bird, she writes so much that you feel her. You can crawl into her words like you've experienced this, or she writes to such a level where people are like, yeah, I felt that. I've been there. I've been in this situation. She just perceives and empathizes, and her words is like, oh, wow, this poet touched me, and that's how I feel. And this, her vision of sulfur and silver still tastes like a bruised eagle. The smell of sulfur is so strong that if you've ever smelled it, you'll always have that. It has that taste. Even though it's a smell, it has a taste that is so strong. And healing means I can feel you, then bleeding is my only option. What imagery and what, again, that taste, that smell, that feel. She just has that poetic perfection, that trifecta, and this just that kind of poem. And I'll be quiet now and go ahead and give it to Hatter, your comments, please.
His call dropped again, hon.
Okay, never mind. How about you, Deb?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. This is one of those holy beep type of poems, like you said. You were just saying about how, you know, you feel like you lived it, you could step in. I think that's part of the lore of her poetry. She pulls it out of her gut and she spills it, and between her words and her voice, you could actually put yourself in that position and you feel it. And stuff like, holy cow, if healing means I can't feel you, then bleeding is my only option. You should, something like that, you just, you're paused there. And then you have to go back, because it's like absolutely a couplet that I wished I wrote. It's a must-say. Oh, and a brevity to boot. Talk about power.
Yeah. And raconteur.
Yeah, I always find relatable emotion in what she writes about, and particularly when she writes about the truth, because she's constantly reminding us that, you know, she doesn't see the world in anything but, you know, black and white. And, yeah, she has a very strong relationship with the truth, and the only way to really push her out of your life is to lie to her. So when you read something about someone lying to her, you know, the venom comes out, the sulfur, like you mentioned, that she touches on, the imagery that you know, we tend to find so relatable and visceral, you know, she always manages to drag that out from her experience and from, you know, her gut, I guess. It's just a beautiful way that she writes, and she always has that effect on me. I love it.
Absolutely.
All right. Sweet. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Obviously, the studio is having a little bit of trouble, but I have area code 959 for you, which I believe is xylophonic blue.
Yeah, I think it's blue, yeah. Hello, Blue. Dine, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Good.
So I have a quick question. Did you want to play that one from Frank, or did you need me? Does Hal need to go?
I don't know. Hal, do you need to read and run?
You want me to go and read mine?
Oh, yeah, if you need to. Do you need to read right away, or can we play one from Frank?
Oh, no. I'm here. I'm good.
Okay, well, then we'll go ahead and play one from Frank.
Good. Fantastic. Good.
All right.
Okay, cool. I'm going to pull back the one that I just put up, and then when he's here, we'll do the second one. I lost it. There it is. Okay, sorry about that. Here it comes right now. There you go. And I will go push that one in the studio.
You are inside a puzzle box. If only your terrifying fears. The realm of the preternatural. Not a soul to help you escape. You are the wretched prisoner of my perverted game enjoyed. I am the sole master to pain, for I control your emotions. You sense my presence near, and you try to erase thoughts, driving you bloody insane when the silence is broken. I am hidden in your drear chamber, listening to the haunting screams as I play with your mind sadistically. You are my marionette on strings. You fight to quench your pleasures, suppressing the urge of submission into the power of my seduction. You are mesmerized by my voice. I whisper emerging from the shuttles as your heart beats with excitement, and your body yearns to feel my touch, covering you in a blood of crimson stains. Behold the Cenobite, every inch of my head tattooed with a harsh grid, and at intersections of horizontal and vertical axes, a jaw pin-driven through the marrow of bone. My vile tongue speaks with a fire of condemnation. The night is young and virginal, the hour of the dreadful Cenobites, when dreams become nightmares and the boogeyman becomes real. Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. We have such sights to show you. We'll tear your soul apart. This isn't for your eyes. Oh, the suffering. I want to hear you confess. Are you bloody scared?
Great.
Bloody scared.
Oh, this is great. Oh, that was funny. That was pretty funny. I do love a really good pinhead poem. Pinhead is one of my favorite, quote-unquote, scary guys out there. And if you've ever never seen Pinhead, it's very interesting with his little box and his little chamber of horrors, and he did a really great job at doing this. You fight against your pleasures, suspending the urge of submission and the power of my suggestion. You're mesmerized by my voice. Wow, I thought he did a really great job. There was a lot of mentioned to the puzzle box, and, you know, he goes through definitely the prisoners and the little boxes and all that, and, you know, Frank, you did a really great job, great read. Yeah, Payne has a face, his name is Pinhead, and, of course, the read was awesome. Are you bloody scared? Oh, it was awesome. Let's see. Dragon Tour, your thoughts, please.
Oh, sure.
Are you?
He did a great job. I guess a tribute to the Hellraiser character. That movie will always live on in my head because of that stupid puzzle box. You know, that idea was actually stronger to me than the actual character himself. But, you know, tying the two together in the poem like that, because, you know, they naturally go together. He did a great job bringing out the fear that was surrounded and invoked in that movie. He did a good job with that. Great read, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Go.
I have fun.
Frank's here. Frank's here. And, how are your thoughts?
I had fun. Hello?
Nobody
Hello.
Heard.
Hey,
Sweet hold on someone.
Hal. Lou.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying to make sure you're talking to me. Okay, so I never saw the movie because with my bipolar, sometimes getting too much in the dark really messes me up with a lot of stuff because of those thoughts that always keep going around in your head. So it can be just like one phrase that just messes you up, and then you don't sleep for 2 days. So I have to really watch how I how much I go into something like this, you know. So, but to me, I remember the advertisements on TV for this movie when I was younger, and it was one of the first movies that actually scared me to death. It just the advertisements scared me more than the Friday the 13th movies, okay? So, or more than Freddy, should I say? So. So, but just the whole thing about a puzzle box in the beginning, that can go into like different shades of blue, gray, whatever you want to call it. When it depending on how your the way that my mind works with the abstracts, with the even with the bipolar when it's really really bad, it can go into like a lot of different things. So just the whole thing. Having a puzzle box at the beginning, just really, you know, it can go as far as I want it to go, or it can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and then I may not get out of it. You know what I mean? Sort of like I'm going to just compare this to like some of another person's poetry, sort of like your poetry and this poem combined with my bipolar would be something to where sort of like something like what Joe would write, like In Chains would write. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you completely understand what I'm talking about. So
this would be like one of those
poems that you would like leave at my door if you really didn't if you might or might not like me, you know what I mean? And then I think all day about it, whether or not it was good or bad, you know, one of those things. So I know that sounds crazy. And it's probably not the feedback that you wanted, Frank, but I still appreciate what you said. Thank you.
No problem, my friends. I'll be honest with you. I understand where you're coming from. And I hope you understand that this was just merely fiction that I'm writing here with no intent to...
I do.
Be just nothing
Absolutely.
More than just entertainment.
Right. Absolutely. I get it. Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Excellent. And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a rather powerful and dark and creepy, scary, excellent poem. And I got the creeps when you read "I whisper, emerging from the shadows as your heart beats with excitement and your body yearns to feel my touch covering you in blood of crimson stains." No, thank you. Man, the imagery here, like I said, is really scary. And then you dare to ask the question at the end, "Are you bloody scared?" "Yes, I'm bloody scared. What are you, crazy?" And then that laugh give people nightmares. Holy cow. Powerful stuff.
Oh,
right?
God. Well, I appreciate that, and I hope I do apologize if I give anyone a bad night tonight.
No.
I laugh, so I hope my laughter will give them the better.
Yeah, sweet
bedtime
for you.
She loved it. Yeah, I knew Sweet would enjoy this piece here. And this was actually a piece I was supposed to send. It was, for the prior show, Wolf, I think it was. That was the one that this one was for. But it was just one I thought would be entertaining.
It was. It was great. Yeah, it was great. All right, Deb, who do we got up next?
You only have three left that are from the leftovers, and the one on the board is from Wolf, and it needs a reader.
Okay. Let's see. You want to read, Deb?
I can if you would like.
I would like you to.
Okie dokie. This is called "Something Wicked" by Walt Spirit. Here we go. "In fitful dreams with fevered brow, tormented in my sleep, while ancient spirits in the now fight for my soul to keep. Nightmare landscapes so surreal, and whispers in the dark. Fingers claw from underneath the mist upon which I walk. Unholy visions meet my eyes, which turn my heart to stone, feeling abandoned by the world, and yet I am not alone. My throat is dry, my tongue like ash, my muscles trembling, apart from rot. A deep peace, I cannot smell a thing. Frozen by fear, or is it just a sleep paralysis? Dear God, let me awaken now. I cannot end like this." End quote.
Oh, no. I cannot end like this is scarier. I would be afraid, like, if you can't wake up from the nightmare, what's going to happen? Unholy visions meet my eyes, which my heart turned to stone, feeling abandoned by the world, and yet I'm not alone. Oh, you know, that's got that creatures under the bed feeling, like you're not in a room alone, but you are alone.
Yeah.
And that's even kind of scarier. So you want to wake up, like you're in that dream state, and you're like trying to wake up, but you're dreaming that you're not awake, but you are awake. I hate that when a dream feels so real, and you're like, am I awake, am I not awake? That whole thing. That is wicked, yeah. And I love the quote he wrote it by pricking of my thumb, "Something wicked this way comes" by Shakespeare. Yeah, that's just perfect. Way to go, Wolf. That even gives me chills like you wouldn't believe. And Hal, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, to go on from where you went from, In the dark, fingers claw from underneath a mist from which I walk. I would, in that sentence, I would feel really, really bad for the short people in the world. You know what I mean?
I'm one of those.
I know. That's why I said it. Anyway. Sorry. I just had to add a little bit of humor there. And this part right here, my throat is dry, my tongue is ash, my muscles trembling apart from whatever. That's just basic side effects of the medication. You know what I mean? That's just basic side effects. So I get a lot of this. I really do. It really fits in, even though it wasn't written for that. But yeah, I get it. I did like it. So thank you.
And Ragged Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this duality of things that go bump in the night. You know you're alone, but you know every little noise you kind of wonder about that and wrap that around, like you mentioned, on am I asleep, am I awake? You know, you kind of feel that presence, and that wants to draw you awake, but at the same time, you know, you don't know if you're awake or if you're dreaming. So that adds to the illusion of what the noises are at the same time. And the whole thing turns into this whole, inception effect, if you want to call it that. That whole dream within a dream within a dream within a dream, and you're falling off a cliff. It's really, really a wonderful piece. He did a great job capturing.
Yeah. And Frank, your thoughts?
Really, it's almost maybe it's me, but I almost felt that it was like the precursor to The Exorcist here. I could just feel when the ancient spirits, the torment, the sleep. It's a very good play on dark imagery. There's many lines here which I really enjoyed here. But of course, the serious nature of it by, you know, mentioning sleep paralysis, it's a very serious theme there. But I really like the whole notion of the poem here. And I'm not sure if the last three lines, is that a quote there? Is that part of the poem by the pricking of my thumbs? Is that part of the poem?
That's Shakespeare. No, that's a quote.
Yes, that's what I was assuming. Is that included in the poem, I'm assuming?
No.
All right.
It's just a quote by Shakespeare he put at the end of the poem.
All right. I thought it was a very good written piece here, and I thought it was a delightful read as well.
Thank you. And Deb, you read it, your thoughts?
Well, it was an easy read because his rhyme and cadence was spot on. It just flowed down the page with his amazing imagery and stuff like my throat is dry, my tongue like gas, my muscles trembling. I mean, it was like there was it was easy to build up, and I think he did a bang up job with it. Great share, Wolf. And your next one, Sweet, is a recording by Phil the Poet.
All right.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Periwinkle Lowrider. A collector's item is my Periwinkle Lowrider, with terracotta seats and fossilized wheel arches, arching over platinum-crusted premium tires, glistening like quilted patches when cruising along. A diameter of gold trim around the headlights, spraying the freeway with cascading waterfalls, adrenaline at high speed in a measured dose. The purring of the engine creates lassoed lacerations. I'm cruising around in my tulip-patterned underwear, feather boa seatbelts feel like pillows upon my skin. Within the shelter of my gigantic Cadillac urn, I cry myself the one and only true metal guru. Flakes of life go speeding by my windscreen, invaded by the kaleidoscopic swells of the afterlife, playing my last tune upon the steering wheel, like an out-of-tune xylophone of a cosmic dancer, waiting to recharge the battery of their disjointed body were digesting the chrome-plated spark plugs, ripping up the highway in a ghostly metal machine. A periwinkle flash of light disappears into oblivion. End poem.
Manny, are you still on the call?
Wow. He's got your favorite word in there.
I know, I see that.
I really enjoyed the imagery. And I've read this before. And I wrote him, I love the imagery and the fun and the colors and the boas that keep you writing along. I just thought that the creeping in his tulip pattern underwear, feather boa seatbelt feel like pillows under my skin. Within the shelter of my gigantic Cadillac urine, I crown myself the one and only true metal guru. I love that stanza. Just because it's so full of fun. I mean, who doesn't want to run around cruising in their tulip pattern underwear with feather boa seatbelts? I said to just cruise around that way, and how can you not have a good time? So I think the imagery in this is fun. It's just crazy. And for Phil, I'd never seen him write a poem like this, so I thought it was perfect. And, of course, it does come from one of your word banks, Deb, and I see, and another, he won a gold medal with it. It's on a couple of lists and a front page pick. So it's just an amazing poem. And again, one of my favorite lines, Catter says, a line of the year, I'm cruising around in my tulip pattern underwear. And your thoughts, Deb?
Well, this is one that I thought he had a really fun time with, and I find myself sitting here doing that V8 smack to my forehead because I really wish I would have added the – I try to add the photo prompt whenever he puts one in, and it is a beautiful custom-made periwinkle car, and it sits really low to the road. So, I mean, you could see how spot-on he was about some of the parts of it. It bums me out that I didn't put the car there. But the poem is awesome, and I had said to him that it's show after show he proves that he can really write about anything. And then when you listen to him, his pronunciation on words is a treat as well. But, like, you know, there's a lot to be said about all the many different accents that we get to listen to at a team of voices, Phil's being one of them. And like you said, front page, awarded, excellent poem.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Frank, your thoughts on that?
Yes, I saw this poem here has a word bank there. And he's very effective in that regard of incorporating all the words there. I like the colorful imagery of this piece here. It's just had a natural flow to it. I mean, it's remarkable that he can use all those words, you know, which is in itself is a challenge there. But he's able to be very effective there and use it to this piece here. And I agree with Phil has a tone there in his voice that it's a very serene, and it goes well with these types of pieces there, so he did an excellent job. And any poem with periwinkle, I could tell that has Deb's trademark there.
And Hal, your thoughts on this funky tulip pattern underwear poem?
I definitely thought his personification was spot on with the words. I wish I could have seen the picture, but I can probably go back and find that somewhere sometime. let's see. Just as someone previously mentioned, you know, it's really interesting to put these different accents and ad-libs and things like that from where people live. you know, and or from where they would have been, where they've been within these poems, because it really adds to that personification, and it really, really lets you get to know the poet a lot more, you know, through it if you read in between the graves, which I think a lot of us, you know, have done with Phil, you know, with it, with his different faces that he's shown. So, you know, this was definitely one of his more comical type approaches that I've seen him do. And you know, it definitely deserves the round robin that it got with the, you know, with the listing and the front page pick and the gold medal for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Frank, your thoughts?
Well, I already commented.
All right.
I commented already.
Who did I miss? I thought so.
Unless you want me to comment again.
Did I miss anybody? No. Did I miss anybody?
Well,
Mrs.
Miss Hostess, I do have a question for you. The only
yes.
one left, you're doing perfect. You're at, right at the 1 hour mark, and the only one left
okay.
from last night is Wayne. Did you want to leave that in case he calls back? And you know, just for a little
yeah.
bit? Okay, well, then
yeah,
we'll
I'm
going to
add... Yeah, we'll wait on him for a little bit.
Cool. All right, and then I'm going to add Hal to the board for you, and then I'll be right back. So let me find Team of Voices. There we go.
Okay.
Like I said, I'll have the phone with me, but I'll be away from the computer for about 3 or 4 minutes.
All righty, then.
Do you want me to go ahead and read it, or do you want me to wait?
No, go ahead and read. You're good to go. You're on the board.
Okay. So before I read this, I just want you to notice that this was like a very complex type poem that we were asked to write for a contest. So if you read the
okay.
author's notes, you might understand more about what's going on. Okay?
Well,
all right.
Okay.
I can just call this poem Skipping Stones. I never really titled it. Okay? It begins.
Okay.
Awakened, first like a wildflower sunrise. Dreams, red-winged blackbirds, jagged mint. Stumbles, evenings, Sarah Harris slated, gray carrot. Friend, upon April champagne, wafer's blush. Refusals, resting place for sunflower rain. Fall, daisies, wood thrush pipes, dragonflies. Loss, pebbled crimson, insects, sonata voice. Renewal, unearthed shamed fogs, ruby vine. Love, magnetic chains, trickle, dunes light. Lessons, sunrise with its meteor eyes. Joy, poplar, parachuting kites, skimming trails. Mentor, eagles, mid-sky, amber disc fireflies. Age, grounded in silence with nimbling thoughts. Turnaround, her lupins, water plowed depths. Completion, and 40 winks, nighttime hours, end poem.
Wow, I think this is really cool. I read the contest, and it takes the words in the order they're giving. The first words written in caps, is lines add cap words, and then add 5 words out from each stone. And from what I understand, it's basically, it's a memory poem. So you're going to take the word and you're going to kind of think of something that you, in your world or whatever, like awaken first, like a wildflower sunrise. So that is the definition that maybe popped in your head. So awaken is first like a wildflower sunrise. And I think that's beautiful. And dreams, red-winged blackbirds, jagged mint. I love that definition. stumbles even Sahara, slated gray carrot. Again, beautiful. I also loved Lost Pebbled Crimson Instinct Sonata Voice. And where's the other one? Mentor, Eagles Mid-Sky Amber Disc Firefly. Gorgeous. And Completion in 40 Winks Nighttime Hour. Oh, God, what a completion that would be if that could ever happen. I thought you did really great with the words and how you kind of describe what they would be, because, you know, some of this I thought would, you know, be really great, like Lessons, Sunrise with a Mentor's Eyes. Wouldn't that be great if you just wake up every day and have that eye of, you know, okay, this is going to be what I want to do or how I'm going to mentor and move forward. Meteor Eye, I'm sorry. And Age, Grounded in Silence. I can't even read that word. My glasses won't read. Niggling doubts. I haven't been grounded in silence since I was born. And I'm even with getting older, they're always there, doubting. I really like how you did this. I thought it was kind of brilliant. I don't think I would have been able maybe to come up with everything. And I love, by the way, the term sunflower rain. I don't know what made you come up with those two words together, but I think they're very beautiful. I like the imagery of sunflower rain. Frank, your thoughts?
Maybe everybody left?
No, not everybody left. Ragantor, your thoughts?
Yeah. I enjoyed this. I really did. A flow to it that you tie together in the end when you mention the 40 winks. You know, it's not just the memory pond, but you kind of put it into a dreamlike state when you called it, when you said the 40 winks part, and really changed the tone of the whole thing. You know, my mind was going in one direction and drifting a little bit, and then you reeled everything in and tied it together beautifully with that closing verse. The imagery is stunning, you know, abstract or not. You know, I really like the Firefly verse. That was wonderful as well. But the whole thing overall was beautiful snapshots, kind of like you said, skipping stones. And each one was a little hop. So, you know, that visual in itself was personified throughout the poem with the way that you narrated it. You did a great job with it.
Thanks, Wack. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I don't know if Deb is back.
I can comment. I would love to comment, but I can't quote a specific line because I'm not back to the computer yet.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say how that was a hell of a read. And if I remember correctly from when I put it on the link on there, wasn't this a word bank puzzle or poem? Puzzle, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of capital letters for a word bank. If so, it was read so well that I had no clue that you were right into a word bank. I wish I could remember specific lines, but I just wanted to make a point of telling you that you did a great job and that I enjoyed the read. I'll be 2 more minutes, sweet.
Thanks, Emily.
Okay. Yeah, I thought they were really cool. I really enjoyed them. All right, so where are we going to go from here? Well, I know where we're going to go because I am going to actually read my poem that I chose for tonight. And that's always easy when I decide, hey, this is what I'm going to do tonight. So we're going to go and do that, if I can find it again. I know it's here somewhere. I just got to find it. You know. Dum-de-dum. It was a really nice one, too. I think so. Maybe not. We're going to try to read something nice. Maybe. It was a little odd, but I haven't read it in a while, but I was in a philosophical mood today because of everything that's going on. So I thought, well, this is what I'm going to read tonight. And so, oh, Frank is back. Let me go answer Frank. Say hello back to Frank. Dun, dun, dun. Hello, Frank.
Hello there. Yeah. Hello. I don't know what happened. I'm getting, I was getting dropped there. So I'll stay on for, I know your poem is coming up, so I'll listen to that one.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. So mine is on the board, and this is Revolution to Absolution. Like I said, I've got a lot of things going on with, unfortunately, not too great, but I was philosophical today, so I thought I'd do this. And it's to the quote by Tolstoy that everyone thinks of changing the world, but well, no one thinks of changing himself. I walk in solitude, reaching for invisible hands. Mirror fragments shine. I go backwards into Alice's wonderland. Mock the sky's blue, surrendered into a pouting, distraught mood. Salted teardrops run down cherub cheeks into an unforsaken dry land. Ocean waters erase the footsteps of history imprinted on sand. Glass bottles held notes that drift through the hourglass of time. Disemboweled memories of the near smiles painted on sad clowns. Pain surfaced in latitudes and longitudes, slicing into my ivory skin, marching in my revelation towards restitution for my absolution in time and poem. So, there you go. Oh, I think Wayne's back here, too.
I made it.
We got Wayne back.
I'm back.
Yeah, Wayne's back.
We made it through the rain.
And you're... we made it through the rain. And then, and right on the hour, we have... Thank you. And we have AT coming back, too. So here we go. Got the full house up again. All right, everybody. So that was my poem. And now we can move on. So.
No, we can't. Don't even try. I like the way you started it out. I walked in solitude, reaching for invisible hands. Mirror fragments shine. I fell backwards into Alice Wonderland. I really think that you have so enjoyed stepping into Wonderland and including them. The aspects so much in poems, and to put it in there with a Tolstoy, quote was really cool. Title, Revolution to Absolution. Awesome. What did you think, Rex?
Thank you.
Raconteur?
Oh, my God. I don't know why I heard you say Gref. Anyway, I don't know. You tend to leave me a little speechless sometimes when you're not talking about death and destruction and you get philosophical. the one is a little plainer and easier to interpret, but when you get deep, you really get deep. Knowing a little bit about what you're going through and the way life is and I tend to get mired in the thoughts myself a lot. So it's hard to put something cohesive together, when you try and talk about it. You're very descriptive about the pain that you feel and the hurt that you've experienced going through it. And you continually try and present a smiling front, but there's no denying what's going on inside, even literally, because you've had things done surgically as well as emotionally, so you've been through the ringer a bit, and it comes out in the way that you describe it. The one line references are brilliant, with the broken mirror and whatnot, and you know, the whole image that you put up is you know, painful to read and totally relatable.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rob.
Awesome comment. And Blue, what did you think? Hal, do you want to comment for Sweet?
I mean, you know, I had to just unmute and get back to my page. Okay. I actually liked the line, well, first of all, I like the abstract you should use between the ideas of revolution to absolutism, like between latitude and longitude. I think that was really good. Let's see. Revelation toward restoration. Okay, so that's another one. And I also like the line, so I can find it. Disemboweled memories of veneer smiles painted on sad clowns. That's sort of like a trifecta. You know, disemboweled memories, and then you have the veneer smiles, and then you have to paint them on sad clowns. So that's sort of like a trifecta. You know, definitely going through everything there. So a lot of good abstracts, a lot of good metaphors. I think you did very, very well in your philosophical display. 3B.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And before I give Sweet back her microphone, Wayne, if you would comment for Sweet P, I'll put
yes.
your poem on the board.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I said you are quite the philosopher in this poem there, Sweet. And I love all the every line is wonderful, and I love the quote where you said, ocean waters race the footsteps of history and imprinted into on the sand. That's true. There's most history that we just lost through the time, basically, and people just don't remember know what all happened in history. Every line in this is wonderful, deep, and it makes a good conversation piece. I think you took the quote and made about nine more quotes. This is good. So every line in this is very good. Good job, Sweet. I like it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And before Frank goes, I'm going to have him tell us about any shows he has coming on.
Well, for the time being, there is no.
Okay.
I'm trying to get through the situation. But once that is cleared up there, and I'm back on my, and we'll probably be in the short there for. Can I comment on your phone there?
Oh, absolutely.
How's the puppy dog?
I just want to say, someone who, Wayne. Well, I'll stay for your phone, Wayne. I'll stay for it.
Oh,
and hear it. But then I have to get up in the morning. Let me just say
you're
puppy
doing all right?
Yeah, she's over there sleeping. In fact, she's waiting for me to shut up so she can sleep.
Cool.
All right. I just wanted to say, Sweet, this with the Maya philosophy there, I have to say that this was a beautiful ride here, although it's sad and somber there, you know, this dark tones. I really like the introspective. You know, I think philosophy is about that. You know, it's about peeling the layers of your inner self and realizing, you know, your mortality there. And I think that you did a great job there of giving us an array of emotions and thoughts here through what is the common practice of philosophy. So you did a great job there.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, and so we have Wayne on the board.
Yes.
So Wayne.
Well, this is a poem that I never thought I'd be reading on the radio. I never thought I'd be reading this on the radio.
Uh oh.
Now I'm scared.
You're so.
Is anybody there? Can you hear me?
No,
we can hear you. Okay, I'll read to myself then. This poem is about a laundromat. I never thought I'd be writing a poem about a laundromat or reading it on the radio, but it's called Contentment at the Laundromat. It goes like this. The day cloudy and content where I sat, it was Monday at the laundromat. Rain had stopped and the workday had ended. This week I dreamed to be so splendid. The flowers blooming, growing from the rain, sound of water flowing down the drain, evening clouds now starting to slowly part, vibrating the washer after start. Was the day often not noticed or seen? Satisfied my clothes tomorrow will be clean. Tonight sit and smile with novel in hand, rest, quietly rest and read and dare not stand. Oh, how peaceful this day I surely love, not to carry in the world or to think of. My spirit free and never was higher, yearning only hear the lovely dryer. In.
Okay. Well, at least you're probably clean
page.
Like your clothes.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Let's
put that on the front page so I had to read it.
Well, there you go. The flowers blooming and glowing from the rain, the sound of water flowing down the drain. Evening clouds now starting to slowly part, vibrating of the washer after start. Well, it is a lovely day, you know, and it's a perfectly beautiful story about being at the laundromat, and it rhymes beautifully and has beautiful cadence, and the imagery is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, why not make a front page pic? It is perfect.
Why not?
I think it's gorgeous. It's vibrating. It's intriguing. You're resting.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
the perfect story. I like it, Wayne. I like it a lot. And like I said, it's just clean. I think it's the cleanest poem I've ever read from you, darling.
Yeah, just wash it.
Oh. AP, what do you think about the laundromat poem?
Well, I saw it on the front page, and I actually wrote Wayne a whole poem in response.
He did. Great poem, too.
I did.
Of course he did.
He did.
And I used the same end rhyme as well. I mean, you know, and all.
Yep.
I did.
Let me feel better.
So, well, yeah. I mean, you know, it was kind of cool, really. The image was cool. And the poem was cool. And it must have been cool, or otherwise I wouldn't have written a poem in response.
That's right.
I think it's lovely. Oh. And Deb, your thoughts on the laundry room poem?
Well, first I want to say something that I love saying to people. Wayne, never say never.
Never. That's right.
Because, not only did you go on the radio and read a poem about the laundromat, but it's on the front page of one of the biggest poetry sites out there. So you and your little laundromat go with your bed. So.
That's
kind of. But it's a really cool comedy, and I appreciate the giggles. You're good at them.
Yeah, I try to smile as much as I can.
You do.
Oh,
it's a nice gift.
That is funny.
Thank you so much.
Frank, the laundromat poem, comments.
Before I'm about to run off to bed, the imagery is going to haunt me tonight, the laundromat. I definitely need to go hit one of those laundromats there. I've got a ton of clothes there I need to be washed. You really brought what I enjoy was the wit. Your wit is always there. I mean, even with a poem, you know, you wonder how much can you write about, you know, a laundromat. But, you know, the one thing is there, when you have imagination, you can write a whole page full of poems on, you know, just spending there, wandering about there, the laundromat there with, what is that, a book you're reading there? Is that you when you were younger,
yeah,
Wayne? Is that a younger Wayne, yeah?
It's back when
when you were younger, yeah. No.
It's me.
That's hilarious.
No, it's you.
Ah.
Okay. I'll let you go.
Let
with
shave.
That.
Of course
Man,
it
I've,
is.
I've got to get up. Look, I got to get up in the morning, man. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
Right.
Get some rest, Frank.
Yeah.
See you at the laundromat.
Take care. Yeah, well, I'm going to be haunted tonight by the laundromat. Either that or you and the mask there. Take care.
Thanks, Frank.
Take care, Frank. Good night.
Have a good night.
Yeah,
sleep well.
I'll hear the recording. I'll hear the recording in the morning.
All right. Sleep well, sir.
Take care.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks. You want to do R.S. Morrison next?
All right. Let me go get it.
All right.
I do have a response poem to you too at some point.
Yes, we will do that after Mr. Morrison because I'm anxious to hear that.
This gun, almost 200 years old. Silent Samuel, this musket's name. Its history, varied and sordid. A relic of long ago it became. This musket built in 1838. Ramrod under the barrel is stowed. A round ball through its smooth bore. Light black powder to fire its load. Used for the battle with Mexico, then back in the armory it waits. Flintlock deleted and upgraded. Percussion firing Samuel's updates. Then came the big one, the United States Civil War. Saw action in the early battles. Fired till it could fire no more. Barrel eroded down both ends. Now its parts old and worn. The stories this gun could tell. This is gun art. This is gun porn. Samuel's war days are over. Samuel served his country well. Samuel took care of his soldiers. Samuel heard many a rebel yell. This musket is now retired. This musket singed many a brow. This musket earned its keep. Silent Samuel is silent now.
Wow. I do love how he can bring the history of the Civil War, and I like how this talks about a certain gun. And how it went through everything, 200-year-old gun, and how it went through the battle. Samuel's war days are over. Samuel served his country well. Samuel took care of his soldiers. Samuel heard many a rebel yell. The musket earned its keep. Silent Samuel is silent now. It's just amazing how he continues to... his perception of history and how things went and how he personifies certain things. I really, really enjoy his series on the Civil War. Zach and Tori, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a wonderful bit of history, how the musket went from the ramrod to the percussion, and they had to upgrade the old guns to be able to do that, to go from one to the other. But that's, you know, definitely what they did. You know, they didn't waste anything back in those days, and you know, they certainly did use it until it fell apart. You know, it was a wonderful thought, And I couldn't help but in my brain make a little pun out of, you know, when he was talking about the stories that it could tell, you know, Muscatel, that's a cheap kind of wine. But, you know, he wasn't drunk when he wrote it, so I won't make that joke. I really enjoyed the story that he told with it, you know, the little bits of history and the detail that are in this, the black powder. And, you know, the reverence to the gun porn, you could tell he appreciates the mechanics behind it, the science. It really was an amazing innovation at its time. And, you know, it definitely gave us the advantage in a lot of fights. Great job. Great story.
And Deb, your thoughts?
You know, I know that he's mentioned about his being a historian and his collection of artifacts and different original things. And I think that between that knowledge and then listening to his poems and the time he takes to pick out the background to go with it and stuff like that, that his complete love and joy that he gets in sharing this shows, no matter what it is he brings, whether it's, you know, about a time period or in this particular one, a time piece with the gun, with the musket. But I think that it's awesome to know that it means so much, and he's putting it out there. So it's stuff that someone might not know or might not think of or had never heard of, and he's introducing them. And then, you know, in his author's notes, he gives you some stuff about it. And I think that's really cool. He shows his knowledge and his interest, and he ties it into his poetry. So, awesome.
Yeah. And Wayne, your comments.
Yes. He's a Civil War buff for sure. I looked at some of his other poems. He's got a lot of poems about the Civil War, so he knows he's very educated about it anyway. And this is a great tribute to Silent Samuel. It's never gun sounded so romantic in the poem. There's a love for this gun in this poem that makes me want to go up and give it a hug. Everything gets old and outdated, but still carries the memories for us to remember it by. So he did a good job of this, and he showed how it has the, how it holds the memories. And he's a pretty good poet, and it's a Civil War addict, it looks like to me, because he's got a lot of poems about the Civil War. Great job of this. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And, Deb, I'm sorry, I didn't see your poem up there, so we'll read yours, and then I'm going to get a piece back up on the board, so I apologize.
No, need to apologize. But, Pete, you don't have to – are you hanging out? Are you staying?
Yeah, and I'm staying around till the end.
Okay, cool. All right. Then yeah, that would be awesome. Let me go back over there. I'm sorry, I wasn't – all right, there we go. I have a feeling this phone's going to die midway, so let me put it down.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, this is called Are the Colors on the Sky Just Bruises? Here we go. Raging clouds roll over me, striping the cornflower blue view as the plum colors block the sun, tossing shadows into the house and staining the skyline. Call out, but gravity tethers my feet, grounding me with two arms that cannot fly the sky, leaving me with the monsters kickboxing all the light to spread their darkness. Now I call out for you. The destroyer in white as the dark grows. Every yesterday fades with the topaz sunset, bruising me as the sky can be bruises too. And sunlight blinds me with the glow that shines, bursting out from the opaque amethyst shrouds, carrying dust bunny bits on the warm wind. But those falls of lint are me. End poem.
Oh, balls of lint are me. Oh, how to trivialize yourself
in this whole wide world. Every yesterday came from the topaz sunset bruising as the sky canopy bruises to the sunlight blinds beneath the gold that shines. I mean, you have all of this beauty and this darkness, and you talk about leaving yourself to the monsters, and you call out for somebody, and yet through all this beauty, carrying dust bunnies into the warm wind, and you just make yourself so small and so overwhelming, and yet those balls of wind are me. I mean, how lonely and how sad are you in this great big world when you're simply nothing but balls of wind? This just strikes me as I don't know, it's like almost like you're just a teardrop compared to an ocean. I mean, Deb, this is, I mean, obviously the imagery and the colors and everything are beautiful, but the messaging is just, I don't know, it's like gut-wrenching when you just say those balls of wind are me. I can't tell you how hard that is and how hard-hitting that is. It's just very, very gut-wrenching. Ooh, tough one. AP, your thoughts?
Thank you.
Wow.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautifully descriptive, as you said, Sweet, and the imagery is probably the image is beautiful at the top of the poem. But you know, I think it's very hard when we have that sense of ourselves being at the sort of bottom of the ocean, almost really here, and at the bottom of the food chain, That's a really difficult and hard thing to confront, and that's what confronted us in this poem.
Yeah, some days. Thank you.
Yeah. And Racking Toward, your thoughts?
He had to hang up though.
Oh, sorry, I'm not looking at the studio.
Wayne.
Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, I said, what an ending. This is a great poem. I thought this was some sad lady talking about sadness and how she felt, but the thought of being a piece of lint, that makes you look so weak and so small. It's a lonely feeling about it. When you're with that, it's kind of caught me off guard. It's a great poem, but it's of somebody that's really sad and feels like a little, feels like they're real small and don't mean nothing to anybody. It's a great, great poem. I loved it. The ending got me. It was a good ending. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Wow.
You're welcome.
And the next one then we're going to have up is the challenge for AP.
The challenge poem. Yeah.
The challenge poem.
The challenge poem. You ready? I did 5 stanzas instead of 4. And I
okay.
Sort of was thinking I should make the last one to be P, but I couldn't. So anyway, this is Twisting in Brine. It goes a little bit like this. Aging feels as if heavy in brine, when all is required is friends and better wine. Slowing on roads, not within my new European car. You qualify for pension plans. Don't listen to TV, unsure where to stand. Is mental state starting to wane? Wayne seems okay. Who knows the same? Concerning stats, dead. Just numbers on a page, and not even written.
All right, that's great. Oh, I like slowing on roads becoming tar, not when in my new European car. No way, no way, I agree. And, of course, his mental state's starting to wane. Wayne seems okay. Who knows if I'm still sane? Well, none of us do.
No,
this is great. I really enjoyed it. Oh. Aging feels as if it's heavy and blind when it all is required is friends and better wine.
You did perfect. I would have never doubted you in a moment. And, Deb, what do you think of this questions and answers poem?
Couldn't find the mute button. I thought that it came out really cool. And like, one of my favorite things to call him a show off, because like I know he was working in the middle of this, and you give him this challenge, and he did, I no doubt did whatever he was supposed to do too, and then he comes and he pops up with one of these. But I like the his mental state starting to wane. Wayne seems okay, you know. I mean, it's just it was funny, and I think that you did a great job with the challenge.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. And Wayne, are you sane?
Yeah, no. He said, who knows if he's sane. If I'm still sane, he's not. He's crazy if he thinks I'm okay. He's got to be crazy. But it's a great point. I liked it all the way through. It's kind of, I don't know what the challenge was, but looked like it came through pretty well. And I like the part of the last one where it says, concerning stats suggest I'm dead. Just numbers on a page, I'm not even read. So that's a cool way to end it. So great job, Mr. AP, and I like the publicity. Good job.
Touch, Wayne. I thought the nice little turning there. But it was an 8-10, 8-10 in question and answer, eight-syllable question, 10-syllable answer, and four or five syllables. And using the same rhyme pattern as the first four, but made up the last one. I was going to go with P, but as I said, I just couldn't make it work.
Good.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to put up Laughing Soul because she's been on the board all night, and I'd love to hear her.
Looking for it now, and I'll have it there in just a second. And she did send me an updated SoundCloud for you to use as well. So I
awesome.
Had to put that. So here is the clip, and let me go get you the right one and push play. Laughing. You have 6 million video or audios tonight, just saying.
I know.
Laughing. It should say corrected. There it is. Here we go.
Dawn to dusk. A poem by Laughing Soul. Vicious blown on gossamer dandelions, sweet nothings whispered on wings of time, holy basil and incense lavender, cosmic chants, dawn to dusk shine, palms itch to feel a bulge, a hearth unlit. There's no buzz. Unstitched cashmere in pinks and tiffany. Dreams and desires bleed in ebony. Knit and pearl silently unfurl. Cosmic chants, dawn to dusk shine. A crescent cradle rocks on memories. Fairy tales, lullabies, unsung bedtime stories. Vintage pages yearn a chuckle. Cosmic chants, dawn to dusk shine. Empty bosoms of a lotus flower. Unwavering faith awaits celestial shower. Fleeting spring with dangling hope, a parched Bedouin, a gypsy soul, paints a wish on a faraway star, a hearth unlit, a desire bizarre. Cosmic chants, dawn to dusk shine, sweet nothings whispered on wings of time. Sweet nothings whispered on wings of time. End poem.
Wow, there are so many lines in this poem that I am in love with. First off, the read was fabulous. Just the tone, the cadence, all of it. Oh, wow. Which is blown on gossamer dandelions. That is a fabulous opening line because it just pulls you in. And then unstitched cashmere in pinks and tiffany. Dreams and desires bleed in ebony. A crescent cradle rocks on memories. Fairy tales, lullabies, and unsung bedtime stories. Empty bosoms of a lotus flower. Unwavering faith awaits celestial shower. Faints a wish on faraway stars. A hearth unlit. A desire bizarre. And of course, I love the line, sweet nothings whispered on wings of time. This is gorgeous. A dawn to dusk. I just found it so beautiful and so endearing. Just sweet and precious. And there's just so much kind of love in it. This want to wrap your arms around someone and just kind of just be a part of a love chant or a part of comfort and just be a part of the world of life and bring something to someone. It made me just feel that way. Yeah. AP, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I thought it was really a really interesting piece. I like the repetition of the lines as it went down the page. I particularly was interested actually in the wonderful word basil, which of course is the US pronunciation, or in the UK it's basil. And I was fascinated to hear that Laughing Soul used basil, not basil. But I love the word use. Half, bizarre, Bedouin, beautiful words, and beautifully put together. And I agree. Very, very, very well read.
Yeah. And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I think she did a beautiful job, and sometimes we get these broken record words that we assign to people, and my assignment for Laughing Soul is mesmerizing. She tends to mesmerize with the tone of her voice, and there's a tranquility to her voice mixed with the background that she chooses when she puts them in, and then the poems. The beautiful wording. She takes us on a journey, and she tickles the senses all the way through. And I think she did a brilliant job with it.
And Wayne.
Yes, what a lovely read. Her voice is going to allow me to dream in heavenly bliss tonight. Great wording in this. I like what you said, dreams and desires bleed in ebony. Knit and pearl, silently unfurl. The way she says bleed just kills me. It's great. And the wording, the voice, the mood, the way it hugs me so tight. This is amazing. Laughing Soul, you are wonderful. Great job.
Yeah, I agree. Just an absolutely stunning poem. All right. And then I think we be. Maybe Budo next?
Okay, on the way.
All right.
Here it comes right now. And he has a sound for you as well. And here it comes.
Thank you.
Can
You taste the salt-stained pathway to your smile. In the folds of condemnation that it holds. When every time you bleed, another streak burnishes a line from the heart. A line from the heart. Collected from countless trips. Under the darker moon, when the stars no longer winked and the dawn no showed its face to a moment in time, a moment in time, to reveal a meltdown in extremes, the senses and in between. When every time you blink, another streak burnishes a line from the heart. A line from the heart.
You know, with where I'm at and what's going on in my life, and just watching, you know, my father-in-law go through what he's going through right now, and knowing he's not going to come home, this kind of really strikes me. You know, just the bending of the will and you know, from the heart, the line from the heart. And the senses of the in-betweens, it just kind of strikes me in what your heart can do and what it can't do. And it's very touching, Budo, and your words and your poems. And, you know, I think you do such a beautiful job at connecting with people and their emotions. And you're an amazing writer, and you do bring a lot of emotion into what you write and what you think about what you write. And it's just another one of those beautiful pieces that you put out there. Wayne, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Between Budo and Laughing Souls, the two of them put me in a very relaxed, warm mood. It makes me feel content with the world. I'm ready to lay back in the darkness and smile as I slip, drift off to sleep. This is wonderful and relaxing, and great wording, and just a great job all around. Good job, Budo. I loved it.
And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I love that he sings his poetry so often. Just writing that it was an emotional song, and that in with his words and his voice, the mixture of a slight sweetness of nostalgia mixed with sadness at the same time was quite a way to show bittersweetness through words. You know, yeah, there was the sadness, but the memories were hitting at the same time. So I thought it was a powerful one.
Absolutely. Let's see. I think I have had everybody that's out there read at least once. And now we're into the second poems are for everybody that's out there. Am I correct? Deb,
was there a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't answer you. I didn't realize I was muted.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, you have two recordings left, which both have had one poem on, so if you wanted to go. And then that would leave just Hatter's poem, and he can't get back because of his phone, so he needs a reader. So that's the one we have as far as I can tell.
Well, why don't we get AP, if you would please read Hatter's poem?
Surely.
All right.
We can do
that would be great.
Yeah. So let me get it up on the board, and there it is. Thank you. Thank you, Deb. This is A Lost Balloon by Jay Hatter from a few years ago. It goes a little bit like this. I watched him walk from where I stood into the life that once called mine. On my knees, I'm begging you, please, turn back the hands of time. I should have bought you flowers. I should have whispered in your ear. You wished away my hours. You made me so unclear. The rain inside is falling upon this dying heart. Inside, the echoes calling, tearing it apart. I saw it rise and leave your soul. It cried my name as you drew near. I watched my touch burn your cheek. In the rain, it disappeared. I paused to see you laugh, walk by. I could not bear to understand. You watched the death of me inside from the arms of another man. Reaching out with trembled hands, my love, you cast on sorrow's mist. Break my days with whispered words. Release me now with one last kiss. I cannot believe you let me go like a lost balloon in the smoke-green sky. Losing sight, my heart stands still. You never said goodbye. End poem.
Wow. That is, as always, with Hatter, perfectly done and lovely and sad. Like a lost balloon in a smoke-green sky, losing sight, my heart stands still. You never said goodbye. I just, God, the way this man writes breaks my heart half the time. And the other side of me just stands in awe at his beautiful, incredible rhyme and cadence and all of that. I mean, I should have brought you flowers. I should have whispered in your ear. You wished away my hours. You made me so unclear. I mean, this is like all the things he thinks he should have done to keep someone. And then just it never happened or didn't happen. You know, I don't see why anybody would ever kiss him goodbye or do anything wrong. He just seems like the perfect sweet person, but granted, I never lived with him. Deb, your thoughts on this?
I love your disclaimer. That was cool. This is one of those poems years ago that pulled us all in to Hatter's orbit. And we kept circling. Look over on the side there. He's on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's on half a dozen lists with this one. Okay. It was on the front page. And if you scroll down and look at what I wrote at the time 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, I said, fabulous stuff, Hatter. It's stunning. And this, reaching out with trembled hands, my love may cast on sorrow's mist. Break my days in whispered words, release me with one last kiss. And I was like, the entire page rocks, and it's a front page pick. And he said, this is one I would like to hear critiqued to this, and he's probably listening right now. And I want to say, what the hell, Hatter? It's a front page pick. It's on a million lists. It's got, it only has 50 likes, and it's got a page, a staggering page full of comments. I'm pretty sure that you couldn't ask for a better critique to tell you that you're an awesome poet. Just saying.
Yeah, no kidding. And AP, you read it, your thoughts?
It's a lovely cadence. It flows down the page beautifully. It is a combination of a sort of ABCB and ABAB rhyme down there. And so if I was to say anything technically, Hatter, about the poem, and if you wanted the cadence and flow to be better, you could probably pretty easily alter a couple of those stanzas so that it was all ABAB all the way down. And that would probably give it an even nicer cadence than it has at the minute. But putting the cadence to one side, this is a classic Hatter poem. You know, it builds up that degree of connection, and then it rips it down brutally, and leaves you sitting there going, oh shit, really? And that's what Hatter does in his poems, and he does it really, really well.
Yeah, and Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, this is a poem of lost love. It has so much broken heart emotions in it, it has to make you feel sad. It's a lovely writing, and the use of this spring wind is just perfect. He said, I cannot believe you let me go like a lost balloon in a smoke-ring sky. I mean, you can feel the sadness in this poem. It's just the loneliness, the sadness, just the tearjerker almost. He did a wonderful job with this. I think it's great.
Absolutely. So everyone got their poems in tonight. There's a couple that put in two, but we are not going to go ahead and do those tonight because we are out of time. I want to thank everybody that joined my show. It was definitely a full house. I had a lot of fun tonight, you guys. You guys were amazing. Deb, next couple of night shows, what's going on?
Tomorrow night is a tribute to Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones. Hatter's got he's got like 15 songs and some information. That's at 11 p.m. On Saturday, also at 11 p.m., the topic is, you say it right, vanilla, wherever that word is.
Vanilla.
Vanilla. And then click the button to check out adult topics this week. And on Monday, choose your photo and write your number and have some fun for Personal Prompt Monday at 10 p.m. There's the next several days.
Okay. And I will have my lines to you tonight for Saturday's poem. Yes.
Awesome.
So I am going to be, yeah. Again, thank you everyone for joining my show. Wonderful poetry, wonderful guest. I could not do it without you. Love and respect to everybody. Have a beautiful night, and we'll talk soon. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Wade. Have fun. Bye.
Thank you.